After a long Memorial Day weekend, the Green Bay Packers prepare to open week two of OTAs. To help break down the offensive line, we're joined by Fred Thurston of 22 Sports Talk to discuss the Packers' O-linemen. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for round two of OTAs. We're going to do that in a second, but to kick things off today, just want to go a little bit out of order just once here because I don't have a guest waiting for me on the phone today. And I want to start off today's episode just briefly, if you just hang with me for one moment, start off with our call to action. I usually wait till the end of the episode. I want to see if this changes anything. We get a little influx here. This show is, as usual, always free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. And the one small thing we want in return from you, the listener, is to give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask that you kind of do in return for us because it helps get word out about the show. So just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up and give us a 5-star review, rating and a review. You can keep it brief, nothing long or anything like that. And we'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. So just wanted to start off today with that. We're going to dig right in here. And talk some Packers football, though. And we'll normally keep our little push at the end of the show, but just for something different today. But anyway, all right, let's talk some Packers football. We're going to talk offensive line today. Going to be kind of be the topic du jour today. And to do that, we have us joining us, Fred Thurston, both of the 22 Sports Talk podcast and Pride and Glory Clothing Company. He's going to talk more about those things coming up. But yeah, we got Fred Thurston, a pre-recorded interview today, but a great one nonetheless. Listen in. Hope you enjoy it.
Expert interview.
We welcome back a previous guest on the show. He's Fred Thurston, who last joined us to memorialize his grandfather, Fuzzy Thurston. But we're glad to welcome him back and talk about the current Green Bay Packers team. And Fred, but before we dig into some Packers topics, I understand congratulations are in order. Following you on social media, I saw you recently got married. How was the big day?
It was perfect. It's an easy word to use, but it really was. Everything went wonderful, and it was beautiful weather, and my bride is gorgeous as always, and helped she helped the pictures look good.
Well, congratulations. I wish you all the best. But without further ado, let's dig in and perhaps into homage to Fuzzy. We're going to kind of discuss some Packers offensive line subjects, which will kind of serve as a preview of this week's OTAs at the same time. But Fred, as David Bakhtiari enters a contract season, how do you view him? Is he a franchise left tackle? And how much of a priority do you think the Packers make to re-sign him?
That's a tough one. But to me, Bakhtiari is probably the most expendable player on that offensive line going into the season. You know, now, of course, that can change as the season goes on. And we'll see, depending on how he plays, how others play, how the rookies step up, if injuries arise, God forbid. You know, I like Bakhtiari. I do. He's young. He's proven to be a solid left tackle for the team. He's consistent. But I think when it's all said and done, unfortunately, he falls to the grand wizardry of the great Ted Thompson. You know, and I know I'll get some slack for that, you know, because haters will hate, and that's fine. But let's be real here. I mean, Ted lined up a fourth-round pick, you know, a fourth-round pick at a position that is crucial to the success of your quarterback. That's impressive. Plus, Bakhtiari has started all but two games in his 3 years with us and has the opportunity to extend that into his fourth year. So we're talking about a fourth-round pick at left tackle who starts for all but two games. That's not bad. And we've gotten all that beautiful production for $2.4 million. That's incredible. And that's what Ted does. That's how Ted assembles this team. And as much as he gets slack from everybody for not always picking the most glamorous picks, he puts us in these great, great situations. And now we're going into a contract season for him, you know, where we've spent the last 3 years getting top dollar talent at bottom dollar price. And you're going to expect that if Bakhtiari goes through the season, he's going to command a large number. I mean, that's just what left tackles do. And especially for a left tackle who's protecting Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's the insurance policy you want to put on there. So I think the money is going to be somewhat of an issue. I think his potential and his age shows that he has the opportunity to be a great long-term left tackle, but I don't know if that's what Ted is willing to do. And I think we saw that with the draft, and that kind of foreshadows what's could possibly be a change of guard, if you will, or change of tackle, I guess.
It's an interesting discussion. I mean, I can understand anybody's opinion with David Bakhtiari saying, oh, he should be a priority, or say, oh, they should let him test the market. You could convince me either way, and maybe you're right in that it will depend maybe perhaps largely on how he does this upcoming season. But I do think he's kind of a polarizing figure in that there's a lot of people who are in both camps and think about him both ways. But that being said, Fred, where does this leave new second-round pick Jason Spriggs in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because I love the guy. I think he's great, and I may be a little biased because I actually picked him in my mock draft in the second round. So he's one of the only guys who's ever made me look really smart, so I kind of owe it to him. But I think going into this season, I think he's kind of locked into a groom-to-go type position. You know, there's no immediate pressure for him to start. You know, we can really spend the season kind of seeing his potential, refining his tools, you know, and let his snaps throughout the season maybe progress. There's no dire need for the left tackle. Obviously, we still have Bakhtiari. So it will be interesting to see how much time he gets protecting Aaron Rodgers, or if he fills in at right tackle if an injury happens, which seems to happen a lot with Bulaga. I think he is the heir apparent to the situation. And I think, like I said before, that the fact that Ted moved up in the second to get him, and the fact that we just paid Bulaga last year and extended his contract, I feel like the writing's on the wall, you know, and that's just kind of the way it is. And that's what Ted is doing. And that's why I love the way that Ted does his work. And the fact that we don't have to have this issue. We don't have to have this stranglehold of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Where, you know, we have a great left tackle right now. We have possibly another great one in the wings, and we're set to go. And that's what makes this franchise so successful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we covered the tackles. Let's talk about the guards. Josh Sitton recently made headlines for shedding 20 pounds this offseason. How do you think that's going to impact him and his play in 2016?
I think it depends. You know, it depends on whether it was 20 pounds of fat or 20 pounds of muscle, you know. And will we know? I don't know. He's been experiencing, you know, pains in his lower back, and it's limited him in his practicing. So I think losing 20 pounds can help with that. I'm not a nutritionist or anything, but I would imagine it would. But I'm not really, honestly, I'm not too concerned with it. I think You know, he was close to that weight in 2011 when he first came in, and it's a weight he's played in before, so it's not a totally new thing for him. You know, and if he goes into the season and he's just getting thrown around, then, you know, I'll be there the next day with protein shakes and cheese curds, and we'll get him right back up there. I mean, that's, I'm willing to do it for my guys.
Sounds good. Protein shakes and cheese curds. You'll make a run to across the street there to what's the burger place?
Kroll's.
There we go. There we go. All right. So the contracts of both Sitton and TJ Lang are up after the season as well. More contract talk here. Do you think the Packers will have to choose between one or the other to re-sign?
I hope not. To me, going into the season, this is the biggest question. This is the biggest concern. And, you know, Lang and Sitton are a dynamic duo. You know, one of the best since the 60s with Kramer and that guy named Fuzzy. and, you know, it's a continuity situation. You know, Sitton and Lang have been playing together since 2011 after Darren College left. That's big. You know, being able to play with somebody and learn their – you know, having your brother, you know, my grandpa talked about Kramer being a brother. Kramer talks about my grandfather being a brother. You know, they knew what each other were going to do. They had each other's back. And I think that they, Sitton and Lang, have that. And I think that's really important. So it's an interesting situation. If it were up to me, I would resign them both. You know, especially if we don't sign Bakhtiari, I think that allows a little bit more financial room. But, you know, if we didn't necessarily address guard in free agency or the draft. So I think that, again, was somewhat of a foreshadowing moment. But, you know, if we have to choose one, if you threw me on the ground and said, who is it? Is it Lang or is it Sitton? Then I don't know. They're so similar. You know, they're the same size, the same age pretty much. I think Sitton's got 1 year on Lang. You know, both extremely good looking gentlemen. Initially I think I probably would have went with Lang, for the fact that he's a little younger. You know, he's 1 year, Lang's a little younger, by two seasons, 1 year by the birth certificate. But, you know, I think it all depends on how Sitton comes out this year. I think, you know, his new weight, how he plays, and it's just going to, you know, it's going to have to be one of those things to see what happens throughout the year. You know, Ted's going to address it, I think, at some point. And we'll have to see, but hopefully they keep him. I think especially if we have to add a new left tackle, that's a rookie. We need some experience on the inside.
Just a sidebar here. This just came to my mind while you're talking about that. Let's power rank the Packers guards duos. Let's go. Kramer and Thurston and Lang and Sitton. And then I'm going to throw in here one from maybe the early 2000s, Mike Wall and Marco Rivera, which were a pretty good duo too. How would you rank those three groups?
Yeah, no, that would be the other group that I'd put in there without a doubt. You know, I think we obviously know who I'd go with number one.
You're a little biased.
A little biased on that one. I mean, I don't want to get struck down with lightning or anything, but, you know, it's a tough comparison. You know, I think they're very similar. They're both successful. They're both great. I think we have yet to see kind of the longevity of Sitton and Lang. I mean, yes, they've been together for 5 years. I would like to see him for maybe a couple more years, and I think it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we do. But yeah, those two other combos are close, really close. It would be hard for me to pick.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe by the time Sitton and Lang are over, they might be putting themselves at the top. We'll see. We're talking to Fred Thurston here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Fred, Corey Linsley surprisingly didn't practice at OTAs as they opened last week. How much does that concern you?
I'm not too sure how much it concerns me because no one seems to really tell us anything. You know, Linsley had the late injury last season, and now he's not practicing at OTAs. I mean, he's not even stretching at OTAs. So, I don't know. Are they just being overly cautious? I mean, I that's very possible. You know, the center position to me is the most important position on the offensive side of the ball, besides the quarterback. I think it's one of the most underrated positions, and Lindsley does a tremendous job at it, which is another, you know, shout out to the Grand Wizard himself. I mean, that pick was fantastic. I think a lot of fans don't realize how, you know, how grateful we should be for the fact that he brought in Lindsley, and it's just been instant starter and no issue really. I think we'll have to just kind of wait and see. You know, if he sits out for, you know, a little longer, maybe there'd be some concerns. But even if he's not ready to go, I mean, we have Treader, and I think Treader is a fantastic center, and I hope it's not anything that we need to, you know, seriously worry about. You know, ankle injury, I believe. So I think that's, you know, we haven't had the best of luck in that since last year. So we'll see what happens.
Kind of leads me right into my next question here. Speaking specifically about the 2016 season, it would seem that Jason Spriggs is the top backup at either tackle, I would assume. J.C. Treader is the top backup at center, but who is the top backup at guard?
Great question. You know, tackle, I think we're pretty set there. We have two starters. We have two young rookies who I think are great. And obviously Treader at center. I think top of the head, when I first hear that, I think Treader again at guard. I mean, he's so versatile. I think that he can play any position. So I think if you're going to be safe and the situation were to arise, I think Treader would assume that position if he needed to. You know, because besides Treader, we have Lane Taylor, Josh Walker, Donnie Barclay, all who are young and have potential, but I'm not sure they can play a full season. You know, a lot of people, you know, I think Barclay would be the best out of those three, just from experience standpoint, but I think a lot of people just can't stand him because of last year, which is a little unfair, I think, because, you know, he's a 6'4" inside lineman who was forced to play tackle. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I believe that every player should be ready for any situation, but to expect him to get thrusted into that role and not have any mistakes or anything like that is a
Coming off
little
the
advent.
ACL too.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to give him a little bit of a break. But I think if you won't allow me to say Treader in this situation, I think Barclay is probably the next man up on that. But yeah, I think if the actual situation arose, Treader for sure. Just because I think Lane Taylor is still a little raw. Walker, kind of the same thing. I think they both show flashes of good, but they still have a lot to work on with their feet and everything like that. So, you know, there's a little bit of relief there, but it's not anything I feel great about.
Good training camp battle. Be fun to watch during training
Yes.
camp. Rookie Kyle Murphy is missing OTAs because he's still in school at Stanford. How much do you think that's hurting him? And this really could apply to Kenny Clark as well, the Packers' first-round draft pick. He's in the same boat. They're both missing time.
Well, Trevor Davis is too, actually. It's the California thing. They go in quarters, I believe, in college, and so none of them can really attend right now. I think with the Kyle Murphy thing, you know, that was one of my favorite picks because I had him ranked way higher. And when we got him, I was like, wow, this is fantastic. I didn't even realize he was still on the board. But, you know, I think it would be nice for him to be there. It'd be nice for him to get snaps. It would be nice for him to learn. It'd be nice for him to get experience, all those great things. But in the same breath, I'm not going to fault the guy for, you know, finishing his education if he needs to, or, you know, and rules are rules, he's got to be there. But I think our coaching staff is prepared for situations like that, especially with Montgomery last year, and just knowing what needs to be done, what type of prep needs to be going into this situation, and how they can, you know, have these guys ready for when they do come back and they are done with school to kind of roll right into the flow of what's happening with the team.
we talked a lot about the offensive line. Just one question here that I just find interesting in general. Aaron Rodgers made comments earlier this week, or I guess it was last week, about being mic'd up for a game. And he's against it because, A, teams, he says teams learn his cadence and kind of thinks that's unfair a little bit. And B, he talked about Randall Cobb getting injured in the playoff game. How do you feel about this topic, and do you think anything will change?
I don't think anything will change, just because the NFL is all about money. and that's another thing for them to have. And that's, they're not going to take anything like that away. I want to agree with Rodgers. I do. I'm torn a little bit on the subject just because, you know, part of me, you know, agrees with him because I am old school and I don't think players should have mic packs onto them. And, you know, it can be dangerous to a degree, and it's just different. And I'm old school and I don't like change. You know, I don't want all this crazy stuff. I don't need mic packs. I don't need color rush. I just want to play some football. But in the same breath, I am absolutely guilty of watching all those mic'd up sound effects videos. I love hearing it. You think about all the different times we've heard, you know, Lombardi and different, you know, granted he wasn't wearing a mic pack, but we like that. That brings us closer to the players and it feels a little bit more like we're there with them. And that it's a great thing in that sense. But if someone's going to get hurt, you know, and especially one of our guys, well, then it's going to be kind of an issue. And it is an unfortunate thing. I think it's probably a little bit of a freak thing too. I'm not sure. I think Cobb's probably the only one who has ever been hurt by it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to say it's that's what's going to happen all the time. Well, probably not. But, you know, and with the cadence thing, you know, I think that's a little bit more that I agree with him a lot more, I guess. Just because that's not part of the natural game to be able to, you know, get that information. And for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who thrives with his cadence, it hinders his ability to use it. You know, like if someone were to deflate a ball to throw it better, I mean, that would be terrible. God forbid that ever happened. So, you know, I can see where it would bother him. I mean, that's one of his skills. It's one of his things. And to take it away, I would be upset as well.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Thread, I know the last time since we've talked, I've just seen on social media that you've done a podcast of your own. How can people find that?
Well, if you follow FThurstonXXII on Twitter, I will always post. I will always let you know when it's coming. It's called 22 Sports Talk. We mostly talk Wisconsin, Badgers, Packers, whatever's happening. And if you get a chance, check it out.
Sounds good. We'll have people follow you on Twitter then. Thank you so much, Fred, for joining us. Appreciate your input, your insight, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks a lot. That is Fred Thurston joining us here at Railbird Central. His Twitter account, it's FThurston22. The 22 is in Roman numerals, so FThurstonXXII, give him a follow. Then you can find out how to listen to the Sports Talk 22 podcast and get his thoughts there. But let's continue on with the show then.
Packers news of the day.
All right. So since our last episode of Railbird Central, it's been a while because we took Memorial Day off, but there's been all sorts of information coming out of the Aaron Rodgers interview on the podcast with former Packers linebacker AJ Hawk. I think he calls it the Hawk Cast appropriately. In addition to the topic we just talked about with Fred Thurston about Rodgers' aversion to being mic'd up, he also let slip several tidbits about how he took a photograph with Brett Favre and Bart Starr last fall when all three were there together at the same time, that game where they revealed Favre's number on the, you know, his retired number on the facade at Lambeau Field. Rodgers also talked about how he wants to create documentaries once he retires from the game. and how playing with golf with President Obama made him more nervous than any football game and golf in general. He talks about those tournaments he plays, and he gets scared that he'll hit somebody when he's teeing off or something like that. So anyway, there's all sorts of information about Roger's personal life. There's been many outlets kind of, you know, recapping these points he's talked about during the podcast. You can find them at any number of outlets. I know ESPN.com has done a good job rounding them up, but there's others out there as well. So there's kind of a few things there. But speaking of quarterbacks, it was announced on yesterday, that Miller Park in Milwaukee, so the home of the Milwaukee Brewers, will host Brett Favre on September 17th for an event titled Thanks for the Memories, with the four being the number four in honor of Brett Favre. It'll be a dinner designed to commemorate Favre's career with the Packers. You can buy tickets for $250 each or a table of 10 for $2,500. It includes a Q&A session with Packers broadcaster Wayne Larrivee, and you even receive a gift for attending the event. Proceeds go to Favre's foundation, which is called Favre for Hope. So there's that. That was just announced yesterday. It's not for, you know, a couple months down the road, but announcing it now so people can make plans and buy tickets and whatnot. A few other things the Packers themselves announced. Packers announced a few training camp events, including the 7th annual 5K run walk at Lambeau Field on July 23rd. Which looks to be the date of the eve of training camp. I think we're looking at July 24th being the very first training camp practice. So the first training camp practice on a Sunday, looking like the Packers 5K on a Saturday, July 23rd. It takes participants around the neighborhood surrounding Lambeau Field and ends in the parking lot. Typically, there's been several former Packers players taking part in the event as well, running in it, participating too. On the day before, the Packers will be hosting the 1K Kids Run on July 22nd, so that's a Friday. And that's the day after the Packers shareholders event. Yeah, so there's all sorts of, you know, events in the run-up to training camp here. Anyway, the 1K Kids Run gives children a chance to run a lap around Lambeau Field. So if you're interested in either or any of those events, you can register for them online at packers.com/5K. Does cost a fee. I don't know what the fee is off the top of my head, but I think usually you get a t-shirt along with it and things like that. So anyway, some events announced by the Green Bay Packers just recently, and that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today, Wednesday, OTAs take place today for the first time since last Thursday. Took a little bit of a break over the Memorial Day weekend. Although today's practice session is taking place behind closed doors, so don't go to Green Bay on Wednesday expecting to watch practice. This week's only practice open to the public takes place on Thursday, so tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, local time, at Clark Hinkle Field. That's the field adjacent to the Don Hutson Center on the Lambeau Field side, right along Military Avenue there. So that's when you can catch the Packers in action. So we'll be paying attention for that tomorrow, and we'll be talking about that on the next episode of Railbird Central on Friday, what takes place during practice on Thursday. But in other Packers news, another Green Bay player will be revealed Wednesday evening. So tonight on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016, their annual countdown. This episode, the player that's going to be revealed will be ranked somewhere between 60 and 51 as they count down backwards on the show, and will be the second Packers player to appear after defensive lineman Mike Daniels came in at number 95. That was a few weeks ago now. Tonight's episode airs at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time with a reaction show to follow. So if you're interested in watching that, that's the time and place you can catch it out. If I had to guess the Packers players that's going to appear, we know the guys left on the list. Well, we don't really know for sure, but I'm assuming, kind of hypothesizing here, the guys who will appear yet would be Clay Matthews, Jordy Nelson, and Aaron Rodgers, I think, still have yet to appear. Well, obviously, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to be near the top of the list, so he's going to be like the last episode or two. So I'm going to predict tonight the person going to be revealed is either Nelson or Matthews, and knowing that there's only going to be one of them revealed tonight, I guess my official projection is Jordy Nelson, seeing as he's coming off the injury, maybe he falls down the list a little bit. But that's merely a guess on my part, and certainly don't hold me to that. This is something not worth getting up in arms over. But you know, just one last thought here on the NFL Network's top 100 list. One player that made the list in the past, and I'm not sure he's going to make it this year, is Randall Cobb. You know, could it be that Cobb is the player that makes the list tonight? It's possible, but I think perhaps it's more likely he's being left off the list altogether after a so-so season in 2015 when he didn't have Jordy Nelson taking the pressure off of him. So we'll see where Cobb comes in. Like I said, I think he's being left off the list entirely this year. Maybe I will be proven wrong. So I just think that's interesting, considering he appeared on the list in seasons past and now may go from appearing to not appearing at all. So appearing in the top 100 to falling out of the top 100, we'll find out. But I just kind of thought that was interesting. Kind of came to mind, and I hate to bring up negative things, but I do think that would be notable regardless, and something the Packers aren't going to publicize themselves, a player falling out of the top 100. But let's see if we're proven wrong here, and maybe the Packers get, you know, five players in the top 100 or whatever it is when things are all said and done. But anyway, check out the player revealed tonight. If you're not doing anything on Wednesday night, you can watch some football programming on the NFL Network. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Fred Thurston for being our guest on the show. And that pretty much does it for today, because I already did our call to action. I'm not going to do that again. So we're just going to go right to some music here, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll see you again on Friday. Our next episode, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, is the live edition, podcasted and on demand later in the day. I've already got our guest lined up for Friday. It's Stu Courtney of the Green Bay Press Gazette going to join us, talk about what happened at Packers OTAs this week. So we're looking forward to that. But that'll be Friday. So we'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues from the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Well, I ain't going back to the city no more. I'm staying right here on.